Today's daf, Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Tet. And we're holding right at the top of the daf, but we're holding in the middle of a sugya. So yesterday, we saw that there seems to be a problem in the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Because on the one hand, Rabbi Yehuda was the one who kept talking about Ro'in, and he said that you can always assume that you're not going to just be able to look at a rove. Because if you've got something that, if it were a different color, would be nicker, then we have to look at it in that way and only then analyze whether I would see it. But then, when it came to the sugya about the mikvah water that gets into the bucket, and the question was whether it was going to be mostly mikvah water or mechatas water, I don't know. He said just all you need is a rove. He didn't say anything about rowing, and that was a direct contradiction. So yesterday we said, our first answer was, that actually, Rabbi Yehuda personally, this is the way Abaya learned it yesterday, is that Rabbi Yehuda's personal opinion is that we don't look at rowing. It was his Rebbe, Rabbi Gamliel, who had a lot of chumras, and he held that Ein Dam Mevatel Dam and Ein Rok Mevatel Rok, and he was Machmir on Bitul Bichlal. And he was the one who said Ro'in. But he himself never bought into Ro'in. That was what Abaya said. Today, Rava wants to offer another approach, according to which we don't have to say that Rabbi Yehuda was arguing in Rabbi Gamliel. Rava Omar, the case is actually a different case than you think. The deli that we're talking about, where the question over there was, remember, is there another liquid that will not be bottled through hashaka to the mikveh? Is there another liquid in there that will therefore be a chatzitza or not? That was the question. And Rabbi Yehuda was saying that if you've got a rove of mei mikveh, you don't have to worry about rowing the mechatas as if it was dam or anything like that, right? So now the question was, why would that be true? And Abaya didn't have any solution other than to say that indeed Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of Ro'in. But Rava has a solution which involves saying a very particular ukimta. There's a particular case that we're referring to. And the case was that the bucket was not really tummy. The bucket was only tummy midrabbanan. How does a bucket become tamei midrabbana? Remember that mashkim tmeim are metami keli midrabbana, but they have a very strange din. In order that people recognize that this is only a drabbana tuma, they won't burn truma of a kachim on it, the halacha is that only the outside of the kli that was mekabel tuma is tamei, but the inside is not tamei, which is wild. But in any event, since that's the way that this deli was tamei, when you have to be toveling in the mikveh, you strangely enough don't really have to be tovel the inside of the kli. You only have to be tovel the outside of the kli together with the rim, of course. I mean, of course, it's a little bit difficult to get the water over the rim without having any get into the inside. But technically speaking, that's all you would have to do. Now, the thing is that the Rabbanan made a gezerah that since we're worried that in a situation like this, a person is not going to really be tovel it as much as he should. He'll get sort of up to the rim, but he doesn't want the water to go into the bucket because then it's going to get mixed with his very expensive mechatas, and therefore we're choshesh that the tefillah wasn't a good tefillah. So they were goes there, you got to actually put it into the mikveh. But it doesn't really need to feel it in the mikveh. We just need to be absolutely sure that the water went over the rim. So in this case, there's really not a problem. Because the mechatas that's inside, obviously is not going to get in the way of the rim. So we don't really have a chashash. And therefore, we'll just go according to a simple rove. But eino chinami, if this would have been a situation that required a tefila midiraisa, and you needed to get the water over, and because the inside was actually tummy, so then Rabbi Yehuda would have agreed that we have to say rowing, and we would not have been able to just be accepted that it's bitul barov if rove in the mikvah water is going to be there. So let's see that inside. Rav Amar, Bidli Shetocho Tahor VeGabo Tamei Askinan. We're not talking about a regular Tamei Dli. We're talking about a Dli where the inside of the Dli is Tahor, and only the outside is Tamei, because it was Nitma Al Yedei Mashkin Tameiim Dirabana. So the truth is, Midina Sagile Becholder. We wouldn't need anything but the tiniest amount of the water of the mikveh to get over the edge of the Dli. So, I mean, we're not even concerned, actually, about the rov. The Rabbanan were made a gezerah. Why? Because Dilma Chayas Alayu, the guy is going to be nervous about having his mei chatas, which is very expensive. He doesn't want it to get ruined with mikveh water getting it. And therefore, he won't do it properly. He'll get right up to the edge, but he won't let it go over. And therefore, once there's a rov, we're going to be more makpid than that, for heaven's sakes. And we're going to start worrying about rowing. I mean, the fact is that the water went over the edge. That's all that we really need to know. So now, let's think about the way that all of this is working out overall. Omar Rav. The truth is, says Rav, the halacha lemaisa, the Omar Rabbanan b'tayma, there's sometimes that you go according to the ability to discern the taste in a thing. The Omar Rabbanan b'ruba, the Rabbanan also said that there's times when you go according to a rov. And Omar Rabbanan b'chazuta, and there's times that the Rabbanan said that we actually have to look at the way that things appear. Can we detect the color? But notice that Rava himself does not say anything at all about rowing. So let's say that we, because here's the problem, Rabosa, and this is a problem that extends through all of the way that we paskin the halachas about these issues of tarovah. The problem is that the difference between a bayev and rova is a difference in whether we ought to worry about rowing or not worry about rowing. Because, look, the way that Abaya learned it, actually, all of the shitas that we had over here did not hold of rowing except Rav Gamliel. But according to the way Rava was learning, that Rabbi Yehuda was only being mechalak in this case because it was a tumid rabbanan of Tumas Mashkin. So then, I mean, it turns out that actually the Mishnah, our Mishnah, and the Braisa that we had before, Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakam of our Mishnah, they all seem to say rowing. Now, if you say rowing, how come Rava didn't mention rowing? Because, I mean, according to the way Rava is learning, we have most of the shitas in the sugya coming out with rowing. And yet, we don't seem to worry about rowing, halacha lemaisa, here at all. Okay, let's leave that aside for a moment. And let's take a look at the different cases where Rava paskins either according to the Rov or according to Chazuta, and so on. So, min b'she'eino mina. So, if it's two different things, and therefore you could detect the taste in the other thing, there we have the din of detectability through taste. So, as long as I'm still able to taste it, even though it may be midiraisa, batal b'rov, but since I can still taste it, it's not considered to be batal. Now, that in itself is a question. Is that a deraisa? Is that a chumra derabanan? And does it matter about whether what it is that we're dealing with in the bittal is the mamashut of the yisr or just the taste of the yisr, which we'll get back to discussing in a moment. This stuff is really nogea everyday piskei halachas. So I want to spend a little bit of extra time on it. So min b'mino, where it's possible to detect the taste, we go according to the tam. And sorry, min b'sheino mino, we go according to the tam. How about if it's min b'mino? So I can't detect the taste anyway. So what's the din over there? Over there, I go according to the rov, because I can't detect any taste. And how about echad ika chazuta? Where it's important to worry about the way that it looks, the coloration, what does that mean? Well, Rashi learns that that means the cases that we just had that have to do with determining whether something has a din of water or something else in terms of the mikveh, in terms of hashaka, what's important to us there in determining whether something is water is not the taste, it's the way that it looks. That was the Mishnah that we had. We spoke about the mikvaot, about the wine and the blood or milk or urine that was mixed in the water, remember? So those are the cases where chazuta is important. So hecha de'ika chazuta, Rashi learns, means where there is an issue of chazuta, then we go according to the chazuta. Again, not according to roin, what would be if, but rather where there is actually a chazuta, right? Okay, so Rava, first of all, is totally ignoring the din of roin. Now there's another issue, which is this last piece, is it really true what Rashi says? Rashi says it means, hecha de'ika chazuta simply means, where there's an issue of chazuta. However, there's many Rishonim who learn that hecha de'ika chazuta means if the iser is detectable because of the way that it colors the things, then you'll have to take that into consideration as well. So in other words, let's say you have a coloring, some type of food coloring, let's say, that comes from non-kosher bugs. You know, this is the whole question about certain food colorings I'm sure you're aware of, right? So then according to those Rishonim, even though this is not an issue of chazuta, the way Rashi would be learning, but the iser would still be detectable through chazuta. Not that the water identification is through chazuta, but the iser is bechazuta. And therefore, according to that, this last piece would also be nogea detectability, either through taste or detectability of its presence through the way that it looks, which is the way that most Rishonim learn, not the way that Rashi's learning. And we've got another issue. And that issue is, even though he says here, Rava, that min b'mina is beruba, however, the halacha lemaisa is that the rabbanon were gozer, a type of roin anyway. And that is that we always talk about shishin, because if you would have been able to detect the taste, so then we assume that the level of bittul would be shishin. Then we've got a completely different question, and that is that the Gemara elsewhere, and this is an important gavi munach, which is called Tam Keiker, something that we discussed in Avodah Zarah. The question is, besides the issue of the Isser over here, how about the Shita that holds that Tam Keiker is an Isser Diorita? So would that mean that if I still taste the thing, that its presence here is enough to be Machayev me Diorita? So that involves the question of whether we say tam ke'ikr in the D'oraisa, is that tam ke'ikr where there is mamashut or where there's not mamashut? Where there is mamashut, and we actually have not just, let's say, a piece of meat fell in to something. We took out the meat. And there's no actual meat that's left in the mixture, but it still tastes like that meat, which was trefa meat. That would be tam ke'ikr. Now, suppose there was fat, and that fat melted into a mixture. That is more than just a plain tam ke'ikr, because there you have the mamashut of the iser. There we have a machlokas rishonim, which is that if you have a kizayis b'chtei achilas pras of the iser in the mixture, so then it would actually be osur d'oraisa if you ate the shear that would have, according to the Rambam, if and only if you ate the actual shear, that the nafkamina would be, according to the Rambam, let's say, if you have a mamashus, even if you managed to eat by eating very fast, according to the Rambam, if you eat very fast, even though you had a kezayas betoch k'dachilas pras, you would not be chayev. Masha'enkin, the other shitas, they all tam ke'ikr, is you would be loke minatera if you ate the shear of a kezayit. Doesn't matter. It's according to the Rambam, it's a question of the proportions. According to, let's say, the sheet of the Ri, Tosfos brings over here, on the Daf we're going to learn, Tosfos brings the sheetas of the Rimi or Linz, that the idea over there would be the iser is how much you eat, not how much of it is present. So it's not really a question of just the proportions. It's a question of how much gets into your tummy. Okay, these are like some of the important issues that are going to be nogea halacha lemaisa that our Gemara has not brought up. And basically, I mean, it seems that we do definitely assume that these issues actually do involve a d'oraisa, which itself is a machlokas rishonim, if we're talking about the tam being there. This is the Rabbeinu Tam sheet and some of the other rishonim as well, which is not 100% clear, but it's not the Mashmaot, not in the Rambam, not in Rashi, not in the Ritva, which are the main other shitas, and that the entire discussion over here is only in terms of an Isser Derabbona. Okay, let's move on then. What Reish Lakish said is now, we understand how it fits in. Okay, so what Reish Lakish said was a very fascinating thing. If you eat two things at once, one of them is pigel, one of them is noser, for instance, or any tisri, you're never going to be able to give hatra'ah, because you don't know when you started chewing, and you had exactly a kezayit. When you started chewing, you don't know when that kezayit actually became batel, because it was squished into the other kezayit, and therefore it becomes part, whatever it was, it was the notar, and it was pushed into the pigel. It became part of the Yisr Pigel, but now there's not a Kazayas of Notar. So when the guy says to you, well, why shouldn't I eat this? And you have to say, I don't know. That's considered to be Atrat Saf. That was the mimer of Reish Lakish yesterday. Now, it turns out, says the Gemara, that whole discussion is actually not like Rabbi Elazar. Because Pliga the Rabbi Elazar, the Omer Rabbi Elazar, we said before that mitzvot are not mevatlot zo et zo. But remember that one of the things that Reish Lakish was based on was that isurin are mevatrim zed ze. And that means that pigel can be mevatol noser. But according to Rabbi Elazar, that's not true. He says, kishem she'in mitzvot mevatlot zo et zo, kach ein isurin mevatrim zo et zo. The whole idea that we said before, that where you're talking about a mitzvah, here we're talking about bittel of a mitzvah. Now, we haven't seen that yet, although I'll bet you all know the mocker. I'll bet you know it even bal peh. I'll bet you even knew it 10 years ago, bal peh, as you're going to see. I'll bet you hardly even know anyone who doesn't know it bal peh. All right, but we're about to see that mitzvot are not mevatlot zo et zo. That seems to be a given. But he holds not Reish Lakish. And Reish Lakish says that Isurin are mevatlim zo et zo. Rabbi Elazar says, look, the same way mitzvahs are chashuvahs and they don't become batel, so too Isurim cannot be mevatel one another. So that even if the pigel gets squished into the notar or vice versa, it never loses its identity of Isur, and therefore you could give hatra'ah with whichever one you want or with both of them and give him malchus twice. Anyway, where did we hear this? Man shamed v'idyomer ein mitzvot mevatlot zo et zo. Ah, Hillel, the Tanya, Omru alav al Hillel azakein, shaya korchan bevatachat, he would eat the basar of the Pesach and the matzah and the morar, make a sandwich out of them, which means that the entire rumor about the Earl of Sandwich is wrong. Sandwiches are Hillels. They are not sandwiches. And therefore, since he was korchan bevatachat v'ochlan, and it says that in the Torah, it says amatzot umrorim yochlu, which means all together as a sandwich. And therefore, it's clear that I'm not going to be mevatel one in the other, and the taste of one in the other. And therefore, since we see that mitzvahs are not mevatlot, so too are isurim, according to Rabbi Elazar, not mevatel.
Hillel was earlier than the Earl of Sandwich.
uh, Yes, indeed. You know what Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish when he jumped in the water? Use your energies for Divrei Torah. Theuchah Leoraita. Such a brilliant brain shouldn't be wasting its time at University of Tel Aviv. Okay. Tana Rabbana. Now, let's talk about another magical event in which, in order to make Shmuel Chanina happy, the Gemara sticks in a sugya of Zovin into this sugya of our Daf Yomi. That way we don't have to worry about Richie running away, because now he's going to be stuck with learning Zov and Friends. So here we're talking about a different kind of bittel, and we want to be mevatel urine. So what do we have over here? We've got a charsan shel Zov izava. We've got a piece of the cheres that was used as a chamber pot, and it was used bedavka by people who were tame. And remember that urine is one of the mayanot azav, and therefore it's going to be metami, like an avatumam. And this urinal actually had absorbed a lot of that urine. And now if you wash that out, you take that piece of porcelain, or I should say of cheres, and pam rishon v'sheni, even if you washed it out one or two times, it's still going to be full of urine. But shlishi, once you wash it three times, then it's not going to be considered to still have urine in it, and because of that, it's not going to be metami. But remember that since the urine is in there, anybody who picks it up and carries it is going to become tame, not because of the maga with the urine, but because of the masa, because he picked up something which contains that urine. So even though obviously he didn't literally come in touch with urine, he's got a dry piece of cheres, but nonetheless, it would be metame him, unless it was washed three times. But when do we say that it was going to be mevatelet? If it was washed three times in water, then it removes the urine that's tummy. But suppose, instead of washing it in water, he simply washes it in another urinal of tahar people, in which it's washed by tahar urine, and that's a question of whether we would say that the min b'minai would not be mevatelet over here. And he didn't put water in it. He just tried to get the urine that was tame out. Then that's not going to work. And afilu asiri, even the 10th time that it was washed off, so to speak, by other urine, it is not going to wash away the urine that's tame. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer, shlishi af al pi shelo natan letocho mayim tohar. According to Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov, we can be mevato, the urine that's tame, with the urine that is tahar. Now, I'm sure that you're bothered by the question of if we're dealing with something that is made out of cheres. I thought we have the famous Gabi dictum that HaTorah he'idu al kli cheres, she'eno yotze midofyo la'olam, and that cheres itself can never actually become washed out from something that is usher in it. So how come over here we're saying that it can be? So it turns out that lahalacha, that din of not being able to get iser out of urine, out of cheres, does not apply to this case of urine, because that din is a din in absorption through heat. And it's true. Once something that was heated is absorbed into the cheres, you can't get it out by simple boiling it out or heating it out. Theoretically, you could. You could by heating it to the point that it was the original heat level of the kiln. But we don't rely on that because we say that we're afraid that the person never would be doing that really wholeheartedly, because it will often break, and therefore we're chayish that it isn't really heated to that extent. But certainly in this case, where it was just a question of absorption of liquid, that is not a factor. Okay, so now let's get back to the Gemara. So who is the Tanakama over here who says either water or bust. You can't use urine to be mevatel urine. So that means why not? Because it's min b'minay. So who is the man di omar? Man shamatle, di omar min b'mino lo batel. So this is Rabbi Yehuda, who said that min b'mino lo batel. But the problem is that it seems that Rabbi Yehuda is soter himself, because we have a braita that speaks about, and it's actually really in a sense it's the same braita, it's a continuation. Well, over there it says, how about a case where you have not urine, but you have saliva? What would be that case? So if someone is spinning flax, so making linen, in order to do that, you absolutely have to have a wetted flax, because otherwise, when you spin it, you're going to get a very rough result. The threads are going to be thick because you can't stretch it. Remember usually how spinning is done, right? The classic woman who's spinning while she's spinning tails. So she's got a rock or something heavy, and obviously there's a tool for this, but she's got something heavy that she attaches. If it's cotton, she attaches the different pieces to, and then she spins it while stretching it, and that creates a twist in the fabric that then becomes so tight that it becomes a thread, right? But with linen, you can't do that because it's a much tougher material. You can only do it if it's wet. So the norm was that a woman, and this, we see this in the sugya elsewhere, where the Gemara talks about that it hurts your lips to do this, and that it's like an illness, difficult to fix. The Gemara talks about what to do for people who are always licking the pishtan that they're working with. So here, this woman is Anita, and Anita is a member of Zov and Friends show, and therefore her spit is tame, and it's going to be absorbed into the threads that she's spinning. So the din over there is that if someone is mesit that thread, it's tahar unless it was actually still damp with saliva. So v'ima yalach, then if he holds this thread anywhere without coming into contact with the actual saliva, he just comes in contact with the other end of the thread. It doesn't matter because he was actually nosei that flax. And therefore in it was that saliva, which is metanian. So mesito tame mishum mashkepia. So he is going to be tame not because of maga, but because he actually was masa tumas hazov or tumas hanida, and that makes him a rishon the tuma, mishum mashkepia. Obviously, there's no din of it being mesit him, but he's being no say, and there's obviously no din here of the midrash that we've been talking about. And here is where we get into trouble with Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda adds that even if afterwards you put it into water, it's still going to be tamei, even though the saliva was all dried, because once you put it back into the water, it actually is ma'orer the original saliva, and therefore it will be rehydrated and will be matami again. And therefore he would become tamei, mishum mashtepia, no matter how many times you did this. Which means that if you washed it off in water, it's not going to wash it out. Now, Rabbi Yehuda was the one that said before that if you wash out the urinal with water, you will be able to get it out. Now, why is it different in both urine and saliva are considered to be the mashkin of a zav? And yet, when it came to the urine, he said you could wash it out. And he was definitely Rabbi Yehuda because it was min b'mino. He said with urine, it was not going to work. And that's min b'mino lo batel. And here he says, no matter how much you wash out the threads, it's going to still be metameyu. Isn't that a contradiction? Amar of Papa, of course not. It's a different type of physics. It's shani rok de courier. Rok is sticky and penetrates more deeply and it connects more deeply to whatever it's touching. That's what stickiness means. And therefore, That's what courier means over here. Attaches things, which is relates to the difference between broken surface tension and unbroken surface tension, is the way that we use the word courier. So same thing is true over here. Now, that was just a problem of logistics. Now, the last piece of the Mishnah says that if the dam of a korban became mixed with dam psulim, then for some reason, it says just throw it all out into the am. That doesn't make sense. I mean, why don't we just first see whether we have rove of dam that it's kosher? Why should we say that there's a difference between dam psulim and the case in the beginning of the Mishnah, which was talking about the dam of Chaya, the dam of Chulin? I mean, why is it different than that? How come we're allowed to just assess whether we've got rove of the dam that's kosher? And here we say, nope, it was in dam psulim, you got to pour it out. What is the difference between this case of dam psulim, or if it was in the dam hatamtzis, which is the dam that continues dripping out after the dam hanefesh was yotze? Why are those different than the dam of the chulin or the dam of the chaya? That's not clear at all. And furthermore, Rebbe Eliezer says that actually we look at the rove. Okay, that seems more consistent, but I mean, what's the machlokas revolving around? B'mayka miflegeh. Well, first of all, we need to understand originally, why did we say throw it out? So we're taking for granted that we're saying to throw it out because of a gezerah. That's clear, because since the Mishnah ends up saying that in the event that the kohen puts it onto the mizbeach, and he was not nimlach, so then for sure it's kosher. Why for sure is it kosher? Because it was never really pasul. It was just a gzera derabanan not to be zorek it, but it certainly didn't pasul it. Okay, so then the issue, Tainas Reb Zvi, is gufa, machlokas between the Tanakam and Reb Eliezer, is do we make gzeras in the Beis HaMikdash? So let's consider that. What would the gzera be over here? Obviously, the gzera would be that if you have something which might be possible for the Mizbeach, we don't want you sitting around over there and starting to analyze exactly how much there was of this and that. We can't have every layman going and deciding what to do. If it gets mixed up with them, that's possible. We don't want that on the Mizbeach because you thought that there was more. Just throw it out, buddy. This is the din for idiots. Okay, so the handbook for idiot kohanim is if any dam that's pasul gets into it, throw it out. Okay, great. That way it don't come to the issue. When it comes to the question of, well, why can't we say the same thing for chulin or say the same thing for achaya? Well, that's a very clear difference. Because when we write the rule book for idiots, and this is the concept, it's a Gavi concept in the dinim of Gezeres Derabanan, Milta delo shchicha lo gozer beirabanan. We don't cover situations that are hardly likely to ever occur. We don't have chulin animals in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, what are the chances that any idiot is going to come across a case where he's going to have to make a determination whether he's got rove chulin? We don't have chayas in the Beis HaMikdash, for heaven's sakes. They're not right for the Mizbeach at all. So since Milsudol Shkichol goes right on, and therefore the Mishnah says, look, just a function of rove in the highly unlikely event that such a crazy thing would happen. But if you're talking about dam, that's puzzle. Now, wait a minute. That happens. That happens all the time in the Beis HaMikdash. And, I mean, if you're talking about dam hatamtzis, I mean, the dam hatamtzis is always dripping out after the dam hanefesh is yotze. Well, that's already shchiach. Therefore, the Tanakama says, well, if it happens, then just throw it out. That's because we're talking about derabanans for idiots. But what does Rebbe Eliezer hold? Rebbe Eliezer says, in the Beis HaMikdash, making a gezerah like that is outrageous. Because what you're doing is, you're taking perfectly kosher things from the Mizbeach and you're throwing them out because you want to treat everyone like an idiot. We don't make gezeras like that in a Beis HaMikdash, which is a makom where you're being mafsid the Mizbeach. It's a makom where people are zrizim. It's a makom where everything is far more aware than it is in regular circumstances. We're not going to be mafsid egdash because you feel like treating everyone like an idiot. And therefore, in the Beis HaMikdash, we do not make gezeiros at all. So Marzav, Reb Eliezer holds, there's no such thing as worrying about a gezeira. Look and see if it's rove, fine, but don't say, I just, if it falls in, throw it out. Rav Papa says, I don't think that's the machlokas over here. I read the Mishnah differently. Now, Rav Papa actually has a very nice basis for reading the Mishnah differently. Because let's take a look once again at the Lashon of the Mishnah, and you'll see why. What does it say? Nisare v'dama psule mishafech la'ama. B'dama tamtis yishafech la'ama. Is that a little weird? Why doesn't it just say in the Mishnah, Nisarev b'dama psulim o b'dama tamtis yishafech la'ama? Why do we split it into two separate bavot? We'll see that this is actually an important consideration for Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says, therefore, I hold that the truth is even Rebbe Eliezer agrees that we're gozer and gezeres in the Beis HaMikdash, and even Rebbe Eliezer would agree with the Tanakhama that if you have a mixture of dam psulim, then for sure we would say just throw it out into the ama. The only machlokas between Rebbe Eliezer and the Tanakhama is benogea the dama tamtzis and not the dama psulim. And what's that machlokas? That's a different machlokas. It's a question of logistics. The question is the dam hatamtzis usually sufficient to be a rove against the dam hanefesh? So therefore the issue is this considered to be a milsa de lo shchicha? That's what they're arguing about. The Tanakhama holds it's enough, it happens often enough to be considered a milsa de shchicha. Whereas Rebbe Eliezer says, no, it's very uncommon. That's not called shchiach. So there's a machlokas about what shikhut is. So bishlam and Rav Papa. So now, according to Rav Papa, who says that Rebbe Eliezer is made to the first part about dam psulim, and that we will actually throw out any kind of mixture of psul, then it makes sense that we split the two cases in the Mishnah. Haina diktani. Because they're two separate bavas. On the first bava, Rebbe Eliezer agrees, and on the second bava only, Rebbe Eliezer argues that we can't put them together because we're introducing that Rebbe Eliezer Omer. Not like that. We're going to the Rebbe Eliezer Omer on the second part. So it makes sense, according to Rav Papa, that we split them up. But according to Rav Zvid, he holds that Rebbe Eliezer argues on any case because he holds Ein Gozrin Gezeira B'Mikdash. So then according to him, how come the Mishnah separated out the question of the Dama Tamsit from the Dama Psumim? Learvinu v'lisninu. So just mix it together, put it together, and say that Rebbe Eliezer says no. Kasha, you're absolutely right. That is definitely a problemo. According to Rav Zvid. Okay, excellent, Rabosai.